B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
Right through the face, leaving the 7-10. The 7-10 only been made on television three times in the history of professional bowling on TV.
Come on, kid, do it.
Oh, no! He did it! He got the 7-10, Randy!
Oh, he did it!
Woo-hoo-hoo! My goodness, the Ginger Assassin just dropped the 7-10. You bet, kid. You bet. Oh, man. Give me some oxygen and water to spare the game. Brought to you by Guaranteed Rate. If you believe it, you can do it. Guaranteed Rate. Believe you will.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. You can watch us on twitch.tv, subscribe to 98.5, the Sports Hub, and so on and so forth.
You know who's an angry group of people, Fred?
Ooh.
Bowling Twitter. We played that clip yesterday, which is a fantastic call from some bowling tournament that was on ESPN, where the Ginger Assassin apparently got a 7-10 split. I actually thought it was kind of a shock that that was only the third time that, you know, that had been on TV. I mean, as good as these guys are, I mean, I'm sure there's splits every once in a while. But you had made a comment yesterday, Fred, about how, you know, the 7-10 split shouldn't be that tough. You know, you just hit it hard and it knocks against the thing. Oh, people did not like that. 7-10 split, it's like getting a hole-in-one. It's the toughest thing you could do in sports. There's no way you could get a 7-10 split. I mean, Bowling Twitter came out with the pitchforks and the torches.
You should be, bowling is a finite thing. Like, if you do it enough, you should be able to be perfect. There's no reason not to be. It's the same every time. There's no variables. There's nothing. It should be, you should, if you're good, like, you could get a kid out there and get lucky and get a 300. So people that are good at it should, it's never going to change. If you do it every day, you should be perfect at it.
The only argument, Fred, I'll make with that is tell that to Shaquille O'Neal at the free throw line. Rajon Rondo.
Well, you know, all right, fine. Then, you know. Well, first of all, there's a lot of variables in that. You're in a game. There's the audience. There's the pace of the game. You're fatigued.
Are you downplaying the professional bowling audience and the stress that that could bring you, Fred? Come on. I'm talking the big bucks they're playing for.
I mean, it's the same thing every time. The same release, the same spin, the same thing. It should go in every time. It should be you should get a strike every single time.
Well, to your point about how if you play it enough, another thing that Bowling Twitter was very angry about yesterday was I told a story about how I took that as one of my college electives. I was lucky enough to get bowling, and I played twice a week. It was like an hour and a half class on like a Tuesday and Thursday. And by the end of the class, and by the way, I've never been good at bowling. By the end of the class, just from repetition, I was killing it. Like, I mean, I was averaging, and I said this in the air, I was averaging over 200 points, like around 220 per round. I mean, I was killing it. There was one game I had seven strikes in the same game. It was unbelievable.
Shows you how easy it is, yeah.
And people went crazy. There's no way you're averaging over 200 points. And my only is like, okay, what am I going to come here and brag about my bowling score, about how awesome I am?
There is a sneaky section of bowling fans in this state. When I was a kid, one of the top-rated shows on
TV was Featherpin Bowling.
Was Candlepins for Cash.
Yeah, the Candlepin.
Candlepins for Cash.
Seriously.
I mean, that's been on. That was on
for Cash.
That was on the air not so long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't, but like, even who's into bowling? Like, where are you bowling?
Well, that's the thing.
There's
nowhere to bowl. I used to think that MMA Twitter was the most like, you don't know what you're talking about. And then we've talked just for a brief second about bowling. And there is this underground bowling contingent. You do not infiltrate the sanctity of our sport.
There's nothing to know about bowling. It is what it is. It's a lane, pins, and ball. You bring your own ball. So the ball's the same every single time. And you go out and do the exact same thing every single time with no variables. You should be, if you do it enough, you should be perfect. I'll give you the example. Nine ball pool is, there was some tournament that I had to go to. And these guys, it was the most boring thing I've ever seen. They'd break, they'd run through the rack. And even then, there's variables because no break is exactly the same, like da-da-da-da-da. And so, you know, but that was boring. Like, they can just run through all the balls because if you have a pool table at home and you devote enough time to it, you should be able to run through all the balls every single time. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah,
you don't have to be a genius to figure it out. I mean, I don't bowl very often and I'm not good at it, nor do I want to be. But if I sat, if I would like to think if I was Eddie Murphy, like Eddie Murphy, or the White House, which they covered up, and I had a bowling alley that Nixon put in, that I would be able, I practiced over and over and over again. There's no reason that if I was at the top of my game, I shouldn't be perfect constantly.
Well, you would think that would be the case, but, you know, I'm being told, even right now by Bowling Twitter, not a bowler, but I still know there's different oil patterns, Fred. So
no,
it's not always the same. You got to respect the oil pattern on the bowling alley.
That's overthinking it. I was thinking about it on the way. I saw that I had a mile left to work, and I thought, you know, the 3-minute mile, and then it took, no one could break the 3-minute mile. And then a guy breaks the 3-minute mile, and all of a sudden, everyone's running under 3 minutes. It was a mental hurdle.
4 minute.
For whatever, 4-minute mile. And so my point is the same.
Yes.
So the guy breaks the 4-minute mile, and then all of a sudden, that mental barrier is done, that it can be done, and then everyone does it. It's funny that you mentioned bowling, because I think I thought this on the way into work. It's the same thing with bowling. Once someone gets a perfect game, it's been done. You should be able to do it. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
So while I agree with you guys for the most part that bowling is definitely easier than people think, there are still a lot of variables, especially with the 7-10 split, because you have to hit a round pin with a round ball, like, in such a perfect spot.
All right, take away the 7-10.
To bounce off of the thing and then to go and hit the other side of the thing.
All right. All right, I'll say this. If you're a professional bowler, you should never be in that situation. I'll say that then. Fine. The 7-10 split is incredibly hard.
I would say that that's probably a more reasonable thing to say.
All right. Well, there you go. That's what I'll say is that that's the reason it's probably, well, tell me this, Jay, if it's only been on TV 3 times, accomplished on TV 3 times, that's more the fact that the bowlers don't get in that situation than it is that that they can't do it, right?
Listen, yeah.
Right? Well, that and there probably just hasn't been that many televised bowling matches.
Oh, there's been plenty.
Oh, I used to watch Terrell Anthony like nobody's business when I was a kid.
They're always on Saturday afternoons, you know?
Yeah.
Like there's an ESPN station that's playing bowling at somewhere in the world.
Football season. I mean, that's what they play during football season. During the Sundays in the fall, they play bowling. They put on their cheapest thing that they can just toss on there, and that, you know, the sponsorship probably costs $10, and they get a bunch of bowling sponsors, and that's that. And then maybe you go viral with something, and then you get it played on the radio. Rob, go ahead.
Hey, I was just seeing, have you guys seen Any Given Saturday Afternoon, the documentary episode?
Yes.
No, I have not seen it. You've seen it, Fred?
Yes.
Robinson. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's
what do they do? Like, what's the hook of it?
Rob, go ahead.
It's like Tim Robinson, but it's like a mockumentary. It's on that show Documentary Now.
Yeah, it's Tim Robinson. It's an episode of Documentary Now, and it's Tim Robinson plays a professional bowler who's down on his luck.
Oh, so it's not a real documentary. Okay.
No, but there's plenty of real documentaries about bowling. Well, I told you when they were doing the Ocho or the thing on ESPN where they do the weird games, they had the master, like the guy who like conquered foosball. He was like the first guy to like rule at foosball.
He's from here, right? Isn't he a Massachusetts native?
I don't know, but
I think the foosball champion like lives in the South Shore. I read some article in the Globe, I think, recently about it.
So, but this guy, he would take the foosball table and he would cover it with talcum powder, and he would watch the patterns of the ball movement through the talcum powder. It would show him the way the ball moved across the table. All it took was this guy to really concentrate on foosball, and then he became the best. But then he's not the best anymore. Mm. He came in, and there's a bunch of new jacks.
He gave away his secrets, Fred.
Well, that's the thing about being an innovator, is that there's a bunch of people nipping at your heels.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one good trend in bowling is that there was for maybe like a decade, maybe even longer than that, all of these bowling alleys were converting into like cosmic bowling, disco bowling, where the lights would be out and it would all be like
glow. It's a party.
And it sucked. Like that was, it ruined it. And now there is this awesome turn back to what bowling used to be. And that was, you know, the boards with the little letters that you moved around for the hot dogs and the beer prices. Like an old school feel is embraced now in bowling alleys instead of like this whole newfangled disco bowling type of thing, which, to be quite honest, just gives you a headache. I want to go in kind of like a cruddy, you know, like with like the almost like the lining of an old station wagon type of wood paneling that's on the side of the counter when you go in. I want it to smell like a bowling alley.
I got a place for you.
Which one?
Oh, it's in Millis. I'll be happy to hook you up.
It's not the old Lanes and Games, right?
No.
It's okay.
Different.
I hate candlepin bowling. I am not a candlepin bowling
guy. Then I can't help you. This is candlepin bowling.
Like old school real bowling alleys. Candlepin's fine, but it's not the same game. Old school bowling alleys are the best, and the bars there are usually phenomenal as well.
All right, Ridge, what's coming up?
Oh, all winners yesterday. Let's talk about winners and winners only today.
All right. We will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
Rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
All right, if it's funny, I'll tell it on the air later.
Same thing. I just want to say the same thing happened to me about 15 years ago. Yeah. Same thing happened to me.
It's a part of a big conspiracy. I'm out to get you. We'll talk about it.
I got invited in, though. You didn't.
Okay, it's good to talk about. We'll talk about it on the air. All right, 98.5, the Sports Hub. What do you want to start? Because the Celtics game was late, so you can start up with that.
Let's start with the Bruins, because that's a big story. Let's talk about all the winners today.
Jake DeBrusk with a chance to win it. DeBrusk wheels into the slot, shoots, he scores! A rocket, top shelf by Dustin Tokarski, and the Boston Bruins will cascade off the bench. They win it 3-2 in the shootout over the Buffalo Sabres, and they've won all three matchups this year.
Dude comes on the show for the first time in a month, buries a winner in OT. Jake DeBrusk, a shootout finisher. The Bruins end up winning it last night against the Sabres 3-2.
The shootout is fascinating to me because it does show you that the skills applicable in a shootout that to be excellent at a shootout have no bearing on how good a hockey player you are.
That's bad teams. That's why I was scared when it got to a shootout. I'm like, they dominated this damn game, and now they're going to lose because this is like the great equalizer.
Well, you have like Coyle and DeBrusk, and who are good players, and DeBrusk, from all accounts, should be a lot better than he is. But it's just funny that, like, your best player... I mean, where would Bergeron be in a shootout? Like, low, low, low. I mean, McAvoy goes well before Bergeron. So it's just funny that where these guys go in a shootout.
Well, listen, you would have loved to have kicked the crap out of the Buffalo the way that you should have. But with all the new returning pieces, it was just good to get 2 points. As far as those new pieces, Taylor Hall was immediately effective. He was thrown onto the Krejci line, and the stat sheet may not show it, but he absolutely contributed to a goal there in the second.
3-on-2 the other way. Hall feeds up the line right side. Smith saucers back to Hall. Couldn't pull off a shot. Smith shoots. He scores! Craig Smith got a loose biscuit at the bottom of the right wing circle and whistled it inside the near post. Bruins 2, Sabres 1.
God, that sounds like a full crowd. Well, not bad, but let's see more than that. And the team definitely brought some pee and vinegar last night as well. Nick Ritchie throwing down against Matt Irwin, but the heavyweight bout came from the veteran maniac on the team, Kevin Miller, who connected on one of the best rights I've seen in a hockey fight in a long time.
Along the far side, Miller just drilled Dylan Cousins with a check. And Cousins will slowly head off the ice, and behind the plate, Thompson's going to drop with Miller. Miller a couple of rights, drops Thompson, dropped him again.
I mean, it was the cleanest connect to a jaw that I've seen in a long time. And in slow motion, it looked like the cover of Pantera's Vulgar Display of Power. Just absolutely nailed the guy.
Watch Tough Guy, the Bob Probert story. There's a fight he's in where he's completely out of it, and a guy just... It just starts, and the guy hits him clean on the chin, and Probert, he literally knocks him out. Falls directly back. They used to knock each other out.
Oh yeah,
there's no knocking out anymore.
You know what though? You know what's really weird is that sometimes guys who are used to it will take a clean shot like that and somehow stay on their feet, and then they get hit again, and that wakes them up. The Bruins used to have this tough guy, Darren Banks, when I was going to games and covering it when I was a kid, and I had a conversation with him. And Banks scored like 2 goals his entire career and would have like 200 and 250 penalty minutes. And he would say, yeah, there have been times, especially in the minor leagues, where I scrap with a guy that's bigger than me. And this guy was huge, he said, and there were a couple of times where I got nailed and I was out of it and I stayed on my feet and the guy hit me again in the same spot and that woke me up and I was able to rally and win.
That was Probert's thing, is that he got better during a fight.
Yeah.
And he just wouldn't stop. But it just that when they hit him clean on the chin and just knock him out, that's fantastic. But yeah, Buffalo didn't have a lot of business in those two fights. Those were not good.
They instigated both of them.
Well, they very much instigated both of them.
By the way, Thompson's what, like a half foot taller than Kevin Miller as well?
6'6" or 6'7".
Well, in fairness, Miller got a quick shot off. They weren't eyeing each other up for a long time.
But Thompson's not a tough guy anyway.
No, I know. But
you're right. Who instigated it, you know?
Yeah, so Miller got in early, but... You know, good for Buffalo for sticking up for themselves, even though they got nothing to play for. But, I mean, those were two very one-sided affairs.
Yeah, Irwin's like, okay, I'm gonna rally my team. I'm going to get... And he didn't throw any punches at all and got the bag knocked out of him. I mean, how inspiring is that for your team? If you, okay, I'm going to instigate this, and then you lose horribly?
They must... I don't know about the two guys that fought so much, but I got to believe that... They're like, keep me in the NHL.
Yeah, that's probably true.
They're probably like, you know, like, I can do things.
See, I did this.
Yeah, yeah, like look at me. I can do things.
I'm willing to take a beating. Keep me on the team.
I took a horrible beating.
It almost felt like Kevin Miller was trying to get into an insanity measuring contest because Trent Frederick's kind of been taking that crown for a while. And Miller's like, hey, I'm back, bitches. Let me show you how to fight.
Dan just told me in my ear they've only had 4 fighting majors all year leading into that game.
Jack made a point of that.
He's Trent Frederick?
No,
Buffalo.
Buffalo as a team, Richard.
No, but Bruins have been in plenty. Bruins have got stuff to play for.
That would explain a lot for Buffalo, who's the worst team in the NHL with only 4 fighting majors.
Oh, yeah, when you're down three goals in the first, you probably aren't fighting so much.
But. I mean, just okay, let's get some energy going. You fall behind a good team. If you fall behind 3-0, there's a guy on the bench who's like, this is unacceptable. Let's go. And that was Frederick's job up until he decided not to.
Well, yeah, before he decided he was a scorer. But, yeah, you got to figure that the trade deadline came and went, and those guys are like, all right, I got to do something these last few games to show the team that I'm worth keeping around.
Yeah.
Because they're certainly not good at fighting, from what I saw, but what do I know?
Well, last night, you know, with Swayman in net, a little good, a little bad, but he ended up getting the win. Yeah, first one wasn't good, but I don't know what he was doing.
I don't know how you got that angle. I mean,
saw it the whole way. I don't know.
Well, yeah, like it looked like he had no shot at it, and how'd you position yourself like that? That was one that, you know, I heard the goal score. I kind of was watching it, and then I watched the replay, and it was like the guy had half the net available to him. And I'm thinking, how'd that kid put himself in a position where that guy from that far away had that much net to work with?
Did a split and lean the wrong way, and it was weird.
I mean, half the net was open. I mean, the guy had half the net available to him. So, yeah, that was a very bad goal.
But, well, here's Swayman afterwards, who I kind of like his attitude about shootouts.
I love shootouts. I think it's, you know, one of the best parts of a game if we get to it. And obviously today I was able to try that, and you know, it was pretty cool to get the win in the home crowd. That was a pretty special moment. And, you know, I know that I wasn't alone out there.
A goalie that comes right out and says, I love shootouts. I like it. Not bad. It
sounds like they give him Xanax before every game. I like shootouts.
Well, he prides himself on not being the weird goalie, Fred. So,
well, he's very, very, very calm, almost robotic, which makes me think there's a point where he's going to snap. Something's going to trigger the program to malfunction.
Or he's going to be a perfect goalie. That's the other thing. Like, if you can actually keep that attitude as a goalie where he just nothing bothers you.
You know my opinion on it.
Nice.
My opinion is, I think Felger has the same opinion as me. Felger's even more so. Felger wants him to play in the playoffs. I just want him to be the goalie next year.
Felger wants Swayman over Tuukka in the playoffs.
He says that to get hot. Why are we talking about it? It's my fault. But talking about another show is, I think his opinion, which isn't wrong, is that, you know, if you get a kid in who gets super hot, that can take you a long way, which is true. But there's also a downside to that, is that you could ruin the kid forever. Rick Ankiel. I'll give you the example of Rick Ankiel. Stupid Tony La Russa starting him in a playoff game against the Braves, and Ankiel loses his mind and is throwing him over the backs. I mean, literally throwing balls 20 feet over the catcher's head. And the next thing you know, he's an outfielder. So, and I would imagine pitching in the major leagues and being a goaltender mentally are very similar propositions. And I would not want to put a kid I'm resting my franchise on and throw him into a playoff fire if I could help it. So.
Well, Cassidy also seems happy with what he saw at Taylor Hall last night.
Well, he certainly creates in space. I thought he did a good job off the rush, finding the open guy. Overtime, obviously, you know, looked dangerous. Had a nice back check as well, so good speed. You know, the details of the game we've got to look at closer to see where structure-wise. I don't want to overanalyze that in his first night here. Just a little more tomorrow, sit down and see where he thought he was good and where the coaching part of it, you know, his feedback on that in terms of, like I said, the details and the structure.
Yeah, thought he looked good last night.
Yeah, they all played. All the new guys played. So they got that. All right, Mark, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Mark?
So last night, as far as the new guys go, right, Lazar was a pain in the ass last night, the Buffalo. I loved it. I give him an A+. And Mike Riley, definitely, he was solid on defense. But Taylor Hall, he did play okay, but there were times where he looked a little lazy, could have picked up the pace a little bit. But I'll give him, like, a C.
Did you hear that Lazar was the captain of the Canadian junior team, like, in the Worlds? That's crazy. And that he's like a throwaway in a trade, and this kid was the captain of the Canadian junior team. And he was a throwaway piece in a trade for Taylor Hall. That's interesting to me.
What about... I was surprised he played.
I thought the two of them weren't supposed to play.
Yeah,
I thought
he was rolling with the top power play unit right out of the block.
Yeah, yep. I think Cassidy was just like,
Get out there.
Please.
We need bodies. Warm bodies.
You hold the stick the right way.
By the way, you saw the defensive pairings last night, and it was obviously significant better than the trash they rolled out there against the Capitals. But if you add Carlo and Grizzlick to what we saw last night, that's solid. Those are six guys that have a fighting chance.
It's all on Rask. It's all on Rask now. It's all on your goaltending. That is true. That is absolutely true. Goaltending in the playoffs, most important thing. They've got the ammunition.
He's been great in the playoffs.
If they're healthy, there's no reason they shouldn't be able to make a little noise, and it will come down to goaltending. So a tremendous amount of pressure on Tuukka Rask as he returns to this team.
More than likely, he's going to be there tomorrow night against the Islanders. That's, 7 o'clock? Obviously, you can hear that right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, so if he's going to play, I send Swayman down to the AHL and just play. Play as many games as you can, whatever's left in their season. All right, Rich, what's coming up? I know the Celtics run very late. It was the Lillard-Tatum show.
Excellent game. Who are these Boston Celtics, and where have they been for the last several months?
All right, we will have that. They're on the West Coast. They're away from all the noise. All right, we'll talk about that. Here are your headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah. Blind people music. 98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Tusher and Rich. Rich, the Celtics played on the West Coast late game last night.
They did. I watched the first three quarters and then had to tap out.
What are you doing?
That was a good game. It was actually a good game.
You know what time we wake up in the morning. It started at 10 after 10.
He's got no commute.
It was only like 11:30, I think, when I went to bed.
Wait,
so it wasn't
three quarters. It started at 10 after 10.
Yeah.
Okay. That means halftime was at about 10 after 11.
Yeah, about 11:30 is when I went to bed. It was like right around the end of the third quarter.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got no commute.
Yeah,
that's true. He's walking up the stairs.
Yeah, my commute was 5 minutes anyway. So it's not that big of a deal. It was a good game. And you know what? I think the best part of it is that the Celtics are everything they weren't a month ago.
McCollum reaching for the ball. 4 on a shot clock. It's got to be Tatum. Stepping to his right. Tough three.
Oh!
Got it! A dagger from Jason Tatum. With 7.8 to go, makes it a two-possession game, and the Eastern Conference Player of the Week gets a head start on next week's award.
That's how you make your week so good. Game winner.
Those are words we don't hear enough. A dagger from Jason Tatum, and not only are the Celtics not collapsing at the end of games anymore, they're becoming, dare I say it, clutch. Jason Tatum nails a three in the final seconds to seal a one-point win over the Trailblazers. It was 116-115. I believe the over-under was like right there at that number. Boston has now won 4 in a row in 6 of the last 7 games. And one of the main reasons right there has been Jason Tatum. Whether it's been scoring over 50 like the other night or hitting big shots in the final moments, this is not the guy we've been seeing all season as of late. Last night, he went shot for shot against Dame Lillard and won that battle, scoring 32 points, 9 rebounds as well. On top of that, more and more, he's opting on passing or driving to the hoop as opposed to chucking up the lazy three like we've seen so much this season. And he's getting to the line. 10 free throws last night. That's the guy that Jason Tatum should be. On top of that, this team is actually playing defense.
They find Kanter, dives in, blocked from behind by Robert Williams. Kemba with a loose ball, lead for Marcus Smart. Pull up three, got it!
Ooh. Man, never set his feet. ISO got up. Defense turns into offense.
A 16-2 Boston run. And they lead by 6, 55-49.
even though that was a Marcus Smart shot, he looks like a different player defensively as of late. He was very good against Lillard. And just like Tatum, he's passing the ball more. 7 assists last night for Marcus. Just another solid win for the Seas. Here is Marcus Smart afterwards.
Just getting started to getting back to where I was. You know, I've heard it. I heard, you know, the talks about me not being able to, the injury probably affecting me. I lost a step. All kinds of things, you know, and it is what it is. I know what I can do. My teammates know what I can do. The league knows what I can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just extra motivation for me to go out there and prove it.
That's right. There's been a lot of hate.
Well, he still remembers. I mean, the game I did a couple of weeks ago, he was our guest afterwards, and he was upset at A'Sherrod Blakely
for
saying something on his podcast.
Everyone says he can't play defense.
He's still angry.
There's a narrative that he can't play defense.
There was this season.
Oh, please.
There absolutely was. Is that he
Marcus
sucked
Smart?
On defense. Yes, this season, there absolutely was a narrative that he sucked on defense.
Who said that?
John.
A'Sherrod Blakely. That's what he legit was upset
besides
about that.
A, because
no,
I remember.
There aren't a lot of people
that
are saying that.
No, because when we found out it was A'Sherrod Blakely, we actually had a discussion on air about who was saying that. Because we couldn't think of anyone who was saying it.
No, Smart.
So I don't know where
everyone's been saying this team has sucked defensively.
No, but Marcus Smart.
Specifically,
yes,
Smart.
And Marcus Smart was supposed to be the guy that was going to come in and be the Smart
plug.
Who
said he
was?
Who said he wasn't good defensively?
I did. I'm one of the people who said that. When he first came back, he's been awful.
Okay, that's not what you said though. When he first started talking after the game about A'Sherrod Blakely, is we couldn't figure out.
No, I couldn't figure out who A'Sherrod Blakely worked for. I didn't disagree with him. I've talked to Danny Ainge about Marcus Smart and his lack of defense and how it's been lacking.
The team defense for the Celtics has been horrible.
Up until about two weeks ago.
Smart, of course, had the calf injury, the calf tear. He was out for 6 weeks, and he obviously is better now. He's obviously playing better now. But the Celtics as a team.
How does he sift through all the criticism of his shooting to get to the defense part? He seems to ignore. He seems to ignore the constant. See, what I could tell you people give Marcus Smart crap for is his shooting.
Well, he's not first team all shooting. He's first team all defense.
Yeah, but I could tell you that. I think it's because he doesn't care about the shooting part.
It's the defense part.
I think it's more that he doesn't have an argument against the shooting part, as he did miss 2 free throws at the end of the game last night.
The good thing about Marcus Smart, though, is that he's passing the ball more the last couple of weeks.
Well,
Tatum and Marcus Smart. That's another thing I've noticed, is that they're not immediately opting for the lazy three. And boy, does that solve almost all your issues once you get the ball movement going.
I think Brad Stevens would tell you this. I mean, right from the start, it's not, and I played a clip from it earlier, it's not rocket science. If Tatum, who is the man on this team, for better or for worse, if he moves the basketball and he drives the basketball, the Celtics are completely different. I mean, the part of the problem is, and this has gotten the Celtics into a lot of trouble, and I think they would tell you this, is too many threes, too many jumpers, too much settling. And once they drive the ball, and you saw, and Max was screaming at the team to do this during the Denver game, drive Jokic, drive the lane. Scal said it too on television. And they did that, and you saw the difference.
Well,
and you saw it again last night, too. I mean, Portland's a big team. They have Kantor. Nurkic is a monster down low, but they drove the basketball, and it mattered.
We all know Kantor is a defensive presence par excellence.
This is a small team. I guess that's my point.
Eric, go ahead.
I'm not buying into the Celtics team this year. I'm not. Jason Tatum is a fragile little flower. The guy is so sensitive. Reminds me of the Red Sox team a couple of years ago, where whenever the media or fans had something negative to say, they would kind of poop out these two or three games where they win either close or it's a blowout, and all of a sudden everybody's kind of back on the bandwagon. I'm not on the bandwagon. Marcus Smart is terrible. He needs to be traded. Jason Tatum, I think, needs to be traded. I know they won't, because nobody will take the contract, I don't think, without a lot of other pieces being involved, but these guys aren't gonna win in the playoffs. Not this year.
I've heard that for the last 5 years, and this is the reason that this is different. I think is that, and listen, I don't believe that they're going to win anything, a championship this year. But what we are seeing is who this team should have been and who this team was. This past 2 months, How confused have we been? How confused have Celtics fans been? This is not what that team has. They didn't play anywhere near up to their potential. What we're seeing now, and John, I think you'll agree with me, is what we expected out of them at the beginning of the season. And we're finally seeing it now.
I would agree, but the caller's right about one thing. I still don't think what they're doing now, and even if they carry this through, necessarily makes them puts them in the elite category with Milwaukee,
not
Brooklyn,
necessarily.
And Philadelphia.
I mean, it doesn't.
All right. So what I said last week still stands now. In order for the Celtics to make it out of the first round of the playoffs, they have to finish fourth or fifth.
Well, they're
right,
fifth.
Right now they're fifth. Right now they're fifth. They're a game out of fourth. They're right behind Atlanta. I mean, all these wins are creating some separation here. Instead of being 7-8 and worrying about the play-in tournament, now they're fifth. Now, they could easily slip back if they mess up again, but the trend is good. And if you want to get into the second round of the playoffs, this is where you have to be.
But this is why this team has been infuriating over the last couple of months.
Sure.
Is because that team can do what you've been seeing over the last couple of weeks. And they've been, and whether it's health, and I know even Jason Tatum talked last night about how he's been having to take, you know, the little thing for his lungs over the past couple of months since he came back from COVID. And then there's Marcus Smart getting back. And it also helps that they've only had, what, one back-to-back over the last 3 weeks. So Kemba's been able to play a lot more. You know, that's why right. those last 2 months have been infuriating. Because they haven't been playing up to their potential.
Joe, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I just want to figure out whoever was just on, and I want to challenge him to a fist fight. Dude, Jason Tatum is the second best player in the league under 25 years old, and he's pretty much 1-1A with Luka. Honestly, Tatum, if his defense keeps getting better, he's going to be much better than Luka. Not to mention he's a couple inches taller. And then Luka, on top of it, he's second in the league in technical fouls. So if he gets one more technical foul, he misses the game for his team. The dude is 23 years old. Just had COVID. I have asthma. I can barely breathe. I'm sweating on the phone right now because of how terrible my lungs are. And Jason Tatum has to take the same exact lung treatment that I do just to make this phone call. So I want everybody off his back right now, including Kendrick Merkin. Kendrick, you've never averaged more than 6 points a game per year. And Jason Tatum does that, and he averaged 14 a game in his sleep when he was 19. I want everybody to stop the Celtics slander. They finally have all their pieces back. Evan Fournier comes back. Top four seed in the East, at least Eastern Conference Finals. You guys have a great day. I'm going to go sweat it like that.
I love you, Joe. That was a great call. But speaking of Perkins, this was kind of funny. So if you remember, you know, Perk called out Jason Tatum's body language after the loss against the Sixers. And ever since then, you know, Tatum has been playing like a man possessed. Kendrick talked last night about what happened after he made those comments to Tatum.
The thing that I appreciate about Jason Tatum is that he didn't get sensitive. He didn't go back at me on Twitter or social media. Guess what he did? Guess what ended up happening? We actually had a phone call conversation.
Ooh,
and we talked about it.
Nice.
He called me and we talked about it. And I told him, like, hey, man, I'm a huge fan of yours. I've been a huge fan of yours. I just feel like you have it in you to elevate your game even more. You could get 25 in your sleep, but I think that you could separate yourself and be up there with the superstars. And I feel like you got more in your game and that you could take over this team.
Get him on the bench, man. Get him on the bench. Somehow, Evan Turner, you can. I love Evan Turner. E.T. can go somewhere else. Let's get Kendrick Perkins on the bench.
Perk doesn't have the patience for that. Not a chance. He likes yelling and ranting and raving.
Fools.
Yeah, no. He's one of those Magic Johnson. He's not as good as Magic Johnson. But Magic Johnson tried to be a head coach and lasted like half a season.
Well, Magic Johnson just said, "Do what I do."
Yeah,
a 6'9" point guard that can do anything.
Yeah, Perk is no patience for that.
Listen, I'm a big fan of Jason Tatum's. I would trade everybody on this team for Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic
is the future of the NBA.
No faith.
That guy is going to be a megastar.
Challenge you to a fist fight. All right. How dare you? All right. What's coming up, Rich? We will take a break.
Socks. They're never going to lose again.
That's right. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Danny 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Red Sox, Rich. The Red Sox.
They are the best team in the American League.
High fly ball. He turns on this one. That ball is way, way, way out of here. Watch that one bounce downtown. Another home run for Rafael Devers. That's a home run in four consecutive games.
Downtown.
And the Sox lead it 4-2.
Digging it downtown where the buildings are.
Seven straight for Alex Cora and the dugout shopping cart gang, or is it a laundry cart, John? That they're rolling
it's a
back
laundry
and forth
cart. I've been corrected multiple times on social media.
ESPN did the best players in the major leagues, top 25, and they had to redact some and add some, and Devers made it in.
Mm-hmm.
He's Rafael hot. Devers. Mm-hmm.
You're red hot. So it was a 4-2
win. Save your
rookie
cards.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Maybe you've got one of those signed ones. It has like a, you know, a lock of his hair or something attached to it.
Isn't Don't make fun of it.
Piece of uniform, Rich. Come on, get it right.
I'll just buy the video for $1 million. 4-2 win against the Twins.
I love Twins.
And Twins.
And incest.
The Red Sox. That is a,
well, that's what you're basically saying.
Well, I mean, you know.
You're saying you want to have sex with Twins. Mm-hmm. They're as about related as you can get.
I guess if you keep them separated, then
I'm just going to say they don't have to be with each other, just with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
it's still weird.
The guy watching the Coors Light commercial probably was not imagining them being together. Maybe they just kind of
like
left and right.
I don't know why Twins is any better than like two girls.
Yeah, Twins.
There's just such an odd commercial for a product. Like,
well, the
and sisters. Why? Gross.
And he like rewinded it, and like there was the one.
Love playing two-hand touch, eating way too much, watching my team win with the Twins.
That is the worst.
I would have. I ew.
Hang on.
And those Twins.
Like the guy that did that is the most flaming homosexual in the world. Like he was, they were just like, what if stupid idiots like? And then they just had some gay guy.
Yeah,
but he gets like so excited. Like what are you talking about, dude?
I've told you the oral history of that commercial is amazing because the guy who made it like really comes across as thinking he thought it was genius. Like, you know, we went to them. It was like, I want this feel a little more like Papa Roach, Limp Bizkit. So we went out and bought this Rockman amp and said, let's rock this thing up. And then there was the one where there's the creepy guy rewinding the Twins when they showed up. And he's like, Twins, the Twins.
That's just, look it. I'm a Domesto guy. I like white sharks as much as the next guy when they're floating in the cooler.
Mm-hmm.
I have played two-hand touch football. I'm not above any of this. The Twins thing, you're losing me a lot on. I don't know. And Twins.
Well, the Red Sox, they got a seven-game winning streak. Their longest since 2018. Longest by any team this season. Also, the coldest game the Sox have played since the 70s.
Nice to know we're not alone.
33 degrees, yeah, at first pitch. So, to make up for Monday's rescheduled game, they're going to play a doubleheader of 2 7-inning games.
Why would you
have a problem with that?
I don't know why they decided to do that.
I don't have a problem with that. 2 7-inning games, if they have to do it back-and-back, who cares? 210-540 as they try to go for two more wins against the Twins.
I love playing two-hand touch, eating way too much, watching my team win with the Twins. No! Quarterback's eating dirt!
Did Puddle of Mud just show up?
What's happening here? You won't quit!
What a pan those Twins!
Before he laughs about his own thought of the Twins, what does he say before that?
Bands that play that rock out or something. It was something about bands.
Oh, he has a head injury. All right, good. And the Twins.
Yeah, the Twins.
Back thinking about them Twins. Oh, boy. Well, that's the product that I don't like. All right, when we come back, we talked to Bruce Cassidy, but it's worth revisiting. Bruce Cassidy was kind enough to join us. Talks a lot about the new additions to the team. Also,
Tuukka Rask.
Public perception of Tuukka Rask. We will have that for you here, the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.